This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Terry, before you right now, in Jesus' name, we speak to that pain in Jesus' name and command it to go in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we break its power in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for raising her up, and by the time we get home, we thank you that she'll be healed, set free, and have zero pain in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father. How many know the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever? Hallelujah. Well, you can go ahead and shake someone's hand, be seated. And Terry, would you want to show this for me? Think a picture, first of all, and then a small clip. And you can open your Bible. Oh, yeah, what's this say? This says, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off the train. You sit still and trust the engineer. And that's what we do. When the problems arise and you say, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Well, just sit there and wait till the train breaks through, because the engineer will get you where you need to go. How many believe that? Glory to God. And then we got a little video clip for you here. Thank you, Father, for this word today. This is my grandson. He did a dominoes thing. All right, there he goes, pushing the dominoes. I don't know. Is there music to this, too? I think so. This is Brady. Kaboom! How about that for strategy, huh? Took a lot of planning, didn't it? You know, have you ever watched the A-Team back years ago? I'm dating myself now. Have you ever watched the A-Team? Anybody? And Hannibal, and what was the big guy's name? Mr. T, and what do he always say? You fool, or something like that. Well, don't call anybody. Bible says call no man a fool, so don't be calling people a fool. But anyhow, notice what Hannibal would always say at the end of the show. He would say, I love it when a plan works, or I love it when a plan comes together. Do you know that God loves it when a plan comes together for your life? Because He is for you. He's with you. He desires to bless you. You are His children. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 11 today. We're going to get into the Word. Is that all right with you?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, a plan comes together when we follow God's plan. When your plans are from the Lord, it can and will work out for you. Ezekiel chapter 11. Thank you, Father, for this word. We love you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Help every person here, Father, that their plans and purposes will come to pass, Lord. Lord, because you've given them those plans. You've given them the desires of their heart. Because they've delighted themselves in you. How many got some plans that you want to see come to pass? Amen. If you don't have a plan, get one from the Lord. He'll give it to you. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, and I will give them one heart, not a divided heart now. He's talking to Israel. I will give them one heart. They will be in unity, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take this stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. Why? That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Now notice that verse 19. It says, I will give them an heart of flesh. In the Hebrew, it says, I will give them a heart that is sensitive and responsive to God. A heart that is sensitive and responsive to God. He wants our heart to be sensitive to Him, to the heart of God, and He wants us to be responsive to the heart of God. In other words, respond. Be a doer of the word. Remember this story in Matthew chapter 7 where He says the man who built his house on a rock, remember that? He was a doer of the word. Amen. And when the floods and the rains came, he was able to stand against the opposition and win. His house was not destroyed. So everybody say, I'm going to be a doer. And I'm going to respond. What are we going to respond to? We're going to respond to the heart of God. We want to know what God's heart is. What is He thinking? What are His desires? Sometimes I pray that, Lord, make my desires in line with Your desires. Amen. And so that's a good thing. You want the heart of God, because that's what's going to lead to your success.
Amen.
To avoid His heart and His desires is going to lead to your demise or destruction, your calamity, what have you. But to obtain, to be sensitive to the heart of God and then to respond to it is going to lead to your overcoming life.
Absolutely.
Now you notice He started out and said a stony heart. He talked about a stony heart. He's going to take that stony heart out of your flesh. Now, what do we mean by the stony heart? Well, in the Old Testament, their heart was not regenerated. It was not renewed. Their heart was impenetrable, so to speak. God couldn't get through to them. Almost had to hit them over the head, you know, to wake them up. And He only spoke to them through the prophets, the priests, and the kings. Do you remember that? Because their spirit was not alive unto God. See, Calvary had not occurred yet. So, it was a stony heart. Maybe they were wrapped up in religion. Remember, the tablets of stone. Stony heart. They were more inclined to obey the legalistic laws than they were to the voice of God. So everybody say, I don't want a stony heart. You know, it talks about in Mark chapter 4, the types of soil, you know, the hard soil, the rocky soil. You can't plant any seed in those soils, right? The pathway soil. No, you want to have soil that your heart to be penetrable. Break up the fallow ground. Receive the seed. And so, why? So that God can get through to you. But back in the Old Testament, they didn't have that, see? They weren't born again. So God had to speak to them, speak to Moses through a burning bush, through some outward manifestation, or speak to Gideon through fleeces, or speak to Moses from a fiery mountain, Sinai. But Jesus came along and gave us a whole new way of relating to the Father.
Amen.
New Testament believers, your spirit now is alive unto God. He said, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit. Noticing that what He said, I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out the stony heart of their flesh, and I will give you a heart that is sensitive and responsive to the heart of God.
Amen.
So, thank God for Calvary. Now, God will speak to us then, won't He? Right down in our spirit. I may have had God speak to you at some point. Sure, we all have. And sometimes it's right through our conscience, but it's all to help us walk in His statutes and His ordinances. You have a new nature. Everybody say, I have a new nature.
I have a new nature.
A divine nature. And that nature does not want you to sin. And your nature, your spirit man on the inside, beckons for compliance to God's principles. He's always nudging us to cooperate with the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Did you ever hear Him say to you, now don't open that link on your phone, it's going to hurt you.
You got it.
Don't commit adultery, my son or my daughter, because it's going to mess up your life.
Amen.
Do not let sex outside of marriage, because it'll ruin your life.
Amen.
Flip that channel. You start to watch a little love story here, and you see people starting to hug and kiss, and then next, you know what the next scene is going to be. So you change that channel,
amen.
Right?
Yep.
It's time to get back to the Steeler game. Or you're watching something on TV, and you hear this, that is not appropriate for a holy man or a woman of God. Do you ever hear him say to you, don't hang with them, because it's going to cause you to compromise your values. How many know he's out for your good?
Amen.
He is out for your well-being. He wants to protect you against venereal disease, sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS, or whatever.
Amen.
Or when you found that wallet in the parking lot of Sheets, you hear him say, be honest, return that wallet. Lovingly, he'll tell you. He'll tell you, don't walk out of love, because the servant of the Lord must not strive. So that's being both sensitive, and then we got to respond. Isn't that right? So Jesus, I'll say it again, introduced us to a whole new way of relating to the Father. And as a result, God's plans for you will work out. Look at what it said in verse 20 again. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And when you do, what does he say is going to happen? He wants to reinforce in you or reaffirm in you. It says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Glory to God. He wants that to get down in your spirit, your position in him. You are his child. He is your father. You belong to him. You're no longer estranged, glory to God. You are one with him. You are forever tethered to him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Glory to God. For all eternity, purchased, redeemed, and no longer under the dominion of Satan. You've been given a new heart, a new shepherd, and a new kingdom.
Amen.
A new father. You've been re-fathered. Remember John 8:44? You were of the your father, the devil. You got a new daddy now. And you got to know your position in Christ. Well, what's changed? He's given you a new heart that's sensitive and responsive to the heart of God.
Amen.
And your desires have changed. A buddy of mine used to run around and, you know, sinful life, he got gloriously born again. And so he went back up to the south side of Newcastle and saw some of his old buddies up there, and they said, hey, man, why don't you come on? Let's go do some gambling and drinking and blah, 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 you know. And so what's the matter with you? He says, well, I used to want to do those things, but my want-tos have changed. And I don't want to anymore. Oh, well, he got a chance to tell me about Jesus. So, refuse to be coerced by the evil one.
Amen.
No more being manipulated in a crazy, sinful, defeated life. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered you out of the power of darkness and has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. You may have the ability now. You do have the ability now to hear from God at any time, morning, noon, or night, and get direction so your plan from God will work. Hallelujah. You have a new shortwave radio, so to speak. You're on God's channel, on his frequency now. The Bible says this, that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly, Proverbs 20:27. So your spirit man, see, is alive unto God, and he'll direct you through your spirit. Look at John chapter 10, verse 2. John chapter 10. Ooh, aren't you glad we're under a new and better covenant? Glory to God. John 10, verse 2 says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. I'll tell you, we are the sheep, and we hear the shepherd's voice. Everybody say, I hear his voice. To him the porter openeth. Okay, and he calleth his sheep by name. He knows your name. Your name's inscribed on his hand. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them. And their sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You're not going to follow the voice of the stranger, the devil. But you're going to follow the voice of the good shepherd, right? So we get direction daily from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God in your spirit. As New Testament believers, you no longer rely on fleeces and thunderous mountains. The Father will direct you. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, he is a wonderful counselor. Amen. Prince of Peace, Almighty God. So he is a wonderful counselor. We get our direction from him. John 16:13 says he will show you things to come. So, man, I wish I could know my future. Well, he will show you some things.
Yes, he will.
To help you avoid dangers and destruction. He'll say, turn here, go there, do this, don't do that, right? You know his counsel's good. He's got your best interest at heart, and he wants to bless you, his kids. He wants to do you good. He has your back. Like one man said, he's got your six. Your 6 o'clock, right? Somebody or someone or something on the inside nudges us all the time, doesn't it, to respond to his directives. Because you know he's looking out for you. Our hearts are inclined then to be responsive, to be sensitive and responsive to his loving care. Yes, even to his direction or correction. Both direction and correction. Amen. Whom he loves, he chastens. So Ezekiel 36, let's look at that. Ezekiel 36. Oh, thank God for his word. I hope you're becoming a word person, because therein is your healing. I'm telling you, the people that I've seen that really get healed from their past are people who have become word people. I said become word people. I'll just share this with you. I wouldn't plan on doing this, but I got to meet one time a lady who had been sexually assaulted by Ted Bundy, the serial killer. Remember him? Every woman that he assaulted, he killed them, except this one woman. I spoke with her person face to face, and she told me, this is 25, 30 years ago, and she told me, she says, he was raping me, and I said to him, you know that you can be forgiven of this. He stopped like that and let her alone. And she survived. But she also became a word woman to get totally free from her past. Too many times we're looking to other things to get free from our past. I'm telling you, when you become a word person, you'll get free. Now she goes around the country, and she came to, I was part of this group called the Beaver County Coalition Against Pornography, and she came to this group and shared with us, and I talked to her one-on-one. She survived. The only one. But she was also healed from her past because she became a word woman, imbibing that word day and night, morning, noon, and night, every chance you get. Every moment you have that word, put that word in you. Why? Because there's healing. I didn't plan on saying all this, but there's healing in the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
The Bible says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I said, the truth will make you free. Not pampering and coddling and, oh boy, you poor thing, you. No, I said the word will make you free. Why? Romans 1:16-17 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What's salvation mean? Salvation means soundness, wholeness, deliverance from temporal evil. And I might as well say, while I'm at it, you need to convey this to your kids.
Absolutely.
You need to take every opportunity when you're correcting your kids to use the word of God.
Absolutely.
Not to hammer them with it, but say, hey, son, you know, the Bible says here, speak evil of no man. So we're not going to speak evil of people.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
Mm-mm. We need to take the opportunity every time to teach our children the Word of God. If you don't have, you're going to be using psychobabble and it's not going to work. Take that word. Not hammer them over the head with it, but gently, lovingly say, look, honey, this is what the Bible says. It says, flee fornication. It says, present all things honest before all men. No, we don't take advantage of people. No. And here's why, see. No, we don't. We're not going to get into strife because that, you know. But if you coddle them and baby them apart from the Word of God, you know what you're going to wind up with? Immature, undeveloped Christians who are going to be insecure. The Word of God is what makes us free. Well, anyhow, I didn't plan on saying that, but let's get back to my message. The Bible tells us here, have we found Ezekiel 36 yet? Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water. No, verse 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Once again, a heart that is sensitive and responsive to the heart of God. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land, and so forth and so on. You're going to be like Hannibal, unable to say, oh, I love it when a plan comes together. Amen. Because I heard from God. When you're willing and obedient, he said, you're going to eat of the good of the land. Follow the ways and principles of God, and you'll lead to success. His strategies lead to an overcoming life. You want to win in life? See your plans come to fruition. Act on his instructions. Christian principles make for success in any field of endeavor that's consistent with a godly lifestyle now. Proverbs 13:1 says, that which is won hastily brings ruin. Finances that are won hastily brings ruin. We need to teach the book of Proverbs to our children. Are you listening to me? Listen, what are you going to teach them? Teach them the Word of God. Amen. Have some devotions in the book of Proverbs, glory to God. Well, what else? God's heart, I better get my watch out so I don't run over here. What is God's heart? God's heart is a heart of love. Sure, we all want supernatural miracles in our lives. We want that. Well, how are you going to get them? By being sensitive to and responsive to the heart of God. By being led by the Spirit. Miracles are reality to what God is and who he is. And if you have a sincere heart, you're going to want to draw close to God. Why? Because he's a prayer-answering, miracle-working God. And he wants to intervene and rescue you from calamity and destruction. He'll give you the gifts of the Spirit to operate on your behalf, to rescue you. Let's believe for a demonstration of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Flowing in the supernatural takes what? Being sensitive and responsive to the heart of God. So we have access to this dunamos, miracle-working power. Isn't that wonderful to know? And the Holy Spirit, you see, will help you to navigate through this miraculous manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. We must be led of the Spirit and operate in the power gifts, the revelation gifts, the utterance gifts. And these gifts all function through love. Why? God's heart is a heart of love. And when we become sensitive to agape, we are being sensitive to God himself. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. Let it be your highest aim, your chief aim, not money. Don't get out of balance now. But love needs to be your highest goal. When you operate in love, you are operating with a heart that's sensitive and responsive to God. So how many know we ought to love God, love country, and love family? Amen? God, country, and family. When we come to this upcoming elections, vote for the people that are for God, country, and family. All right? Expressing love. Do you know that expressing love brings security to children? Do you know that? When you're expressing love to them, you are giving them a sound mind. It helps bring them to a place of being stabilized for the rest of their lives. It'll keep them out of prison when they know His love. We ought to be hugging and expressing our love to our children frequently. Doing things that take us out of our way to demonstrate to them that they are special.
Absolutely.
Every child needs to know, you are special. And I'm going out of my road for you because you're special.
Amen.
But expressing love often to family members is so needed. Listen, you know when you are expressing love, you are preventing inadequacy and insecurity. I was inadequate. I was insecure. And I can share that, you know, my dad was busy, had two businesses and doing book work at night. So I didn't maybe have the bond when I was a kid with my dad because of his, you know, busyness. And so I was insecure. I was inadequate. And later in life, man, we bonded greatly, you know. Oh, I had a strong bond later, which was good for me. But you see, if we withhold that, you're going to wind up with kids who are insecure and inadequate in later years. The love ingredient will bring that child to stability, to security, to confidence for life. They'll be well-rounded, well-balanced adult with good mental health. And what are you doing? You're being sensitive and responsive to the heart of God. That's right. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to what? To love him. And in Galatians 5:13, I'm turning there now, Galatians 5:13. Notice it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what God's called us to. You want to have good mental health? By love, serve one another. Amen. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But, now here's what happens if you're not sensitive and responsive to the heart of God. Here's what's going to happen. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So we got to stay in that love realm, don't we? Amen. I like what the Phillips translation says of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Phillips translation says, love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has failed or fallen. Mark Hankins made this statement. He said, the first evidence that we're a child of God is walking in love with everybody. Well, you don't know what this person did to me. I don't care. I'm telling you. You open the door through strife when we don't walk in love. Henry Drummond said this. He says, the world is not a playground. It is a schoolroom. Life is not a holiday, but an education. And one eternal lesson for us all is how better can we love with agape love? Now, let's see. I'll find there's one quote out of the Message Bible here as soon as I find it. On 1 Corinthians chapter 13, here it is. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. When you're imparting love, you're imparting healing. You're imparting security. You're erasing inadequacies. When you're imparting love, you're giving the person what makes them whole and sound. Maybe you haven't had that from your parents. But there's one heavenly Father who is perfect, And he will see to it that, every void is filled and that the perfect love will come into your heart, make you whole, sound, complete in him. This is truly being sensitive and responsive to the heart of God. Because the heart of God is being love-centered, expressing divine love as being sensitive and responsive. It does not take advantage of others, but adds value to people's lives. Where does it all begin? With a regenerated spirit man, a new heart, a transformation. It's called the new birth. It's when you get your new wineskins. Maybe Wednesday night we'll talk about the new wineskins. Let's stand tonight, today, whatever it is. I guess it's still day, right? Amen. So these are the points that we covered today. You were given a heart that is sensitive and responsive to God. And now your heart is inclined to want to be obedient to that. Number two, when you are doer, or when you're responsive to that, you're going to find success and an overcoming life. Number three, the heart of God is love-centered, and when we express divine love, we are being sensitive and responsive. You can put those up, Terry, those points, if you would. And then finally, this love prevents insecurity and inadequacy for many, many years in a person's life. Yeah. Keeps them out of prison. Amen. Well, let's lift our hands to heaven. Let's rejoice. Oh, that we're bought with a price, redeemed. We know our position in Christ. We have a God who loves us, bought with a price, cares about us. Oh, thank you, Father. Give her a revelation, Father, of your love for her. In Jesus' name. Cause it to go from her head to her heart. Not just mental assent, but help her to know how much you love her. As her heavenly Father, that you will never disappoint her, never take advantage, but you will always do her good and have her best interest at heart. Help her to know your fatherly love, Father, today. The Bible says the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Our spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy God. Glory to God. Thank God for the Father's love. Amen. And when we respond to that, we are responding in the sensitivity and response to the heart of God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, everybody just say this with me. Those of you watching out there, let's make that connection. Let's get that new wineskin. Because you can't put new wine in old wineskins. We'll read about that on Wednesday night. Because what's going to happen, you put it in the old wineskins, and what's going to happen, the gases start forming, and the next thing you know, it bursts. And you lose everything. So, God says, I'm going to give you a new wineskin. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And then you can put the new wine in your new spirit, the wine of the Holy Ghost, glory to God, and it'll be able to contain it, glory to God. Oh, so say this, Heavenly Father, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Help me, Lord, to be sensitive and responsive to the heart of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, Jesus is Lord of your life, you're a new creation in Christ, and you just got you a new wineskin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's praise him as we go. If you need prayer, come on up this morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.